and welcome to the Recruitment Marketing Podcast. My name is Victoria Rush. Here, I'll be talking to marketing leaders in the recruitment industry, discussing their careers in recruitment, passions for marketing, and the challenges and successes they have faced along the way. My aim for this podcast is to share the opinions and insights of a variety of experts from across the recruitment marketing landscape. I'll be discussing their experiences and learns while building recruitment brands around the world. Welcome back to the Recruitment Marketing Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Erica Scott, who is founder of Civilian Connections. Erica joins me from Phoenix, Arizona. It's the first guest I've had from Arizona. Erica, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Yeah, warm, I said earlier. Starting to cope with this temperature in the UK that we don't seem to ever be used to. We complain about rain, we complain about sunshine. I think it's a British thing. We're just not very good at it. So thank you very much for joining me today. Really appreciate it. I'm so pleased you reached out to me on LinkedIn about coming on the show, because you founded Civilian Connections in November 2013.
Yes,
and you work directly with executives to employ US military veterans into businesses, which I applaud already. So please, could you just tell us a bit about what it is that you do and how you ended up setting up Civilian Connections in the first place?
Well, thank you for asking that. So what I do is I go into companies and I work with them to help them find amazing talent. Because what you hear in the U.S., even though we're going through a pandemic, right, people are still hiring. There's executives that I have work, I can't find amazing people to do the work. So what I go do is I go in and help them translate and bring U.S. veterans and fill those positions so they can save money and drive their business forward. So I've been in HR for about, oh my gosh, I don't want to say 20 years now. I started out in recruiting, and I kind of watched the ebbs and flows of businesses, right? So what I do is my passion is uncovering the hidden potential in people. I think we have people who are maybe a little more meek, maybe people that are a little more reserved, that are just amazingly talented, but we don't know how to bring that out in people. So that's what I do in HR. I've worked for corporate America, and I've done all these things. And so one day, you know, I think all of us have that moment in our lives where we look up and we're like, am I really helping people? Am I making a difference? Yeah. Am I helping people? What's my legacy going to be, right? And not that I want to be this world famous HR person, but I'm like, did people look up and go, Erica cared about people. She really, really cared about people. So I looked up one day and I had a friend who was in the military, and he just kept calling me because he lost his job. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm your friend and you can call me as an HR person, but I'm thinking, don't you have resources in the military? And I'm thinking the base will help you. Your peers are helping you. And he's like, yeah, we kind of do, but I feel more comfortable coming to you. And I'm like, okay. So I started working with him and I discovered very quickly that there's a gap there. There's a gap in translating those military terms into civilian terms. He had a hard time translating himself. And let's be honest, military is, they're not out to promote themselves. They have a saying that says service before self. So he had a hard time saying, this is all the amazing things I do. So I thought, there's something to this. So I started volunteering with a bunch of nonprofits, and I found out that I was really good at helping them with their interviewing skills, their resume, telling those star moments, tell me what's amazing about you. Why should I hire you? I helped them. And I think I finally had my defining moment is when I had like a general on the call, and I was intimidated. I'm thinking, why would this general listen to this HR person? He listened to me and he was successful.
Amazing.
So I think I found my niche. I found it. And I'm honest with people. That's the name of my business, is Civilian. I never served in the military, but I had this passion and this desire to give back. So I spent probably 5 years just understanding them, listening to their stories, investing into their businesses, listening to the things that go well, listening to their pain points. And one of the things that was resounding was, I feel misunderstood. I feel like I went into the military when I was 17, and I'm a new person. I'm a different person now. I don't know how to necessarily explain all of the things that I did in the military. And I'm concerned about what people think about the military, right? So, you know, civilians, sometimes we think they're damaged. They have PTSD. They have all these things. So there's this thing where I read this great article. It talked about there's a difference between fixing and helping and serving people. So sometimes they feel like people don't feel like I have any value. So then we run into issues where they don't stay at those jobs when they first get out. It's just too much for them. It's like a culture shock, and they withdraw. And I always say to veterans, I don't speak for you. I advocate for you. So I asked them, I'm like, are you withdrawing from these jobs because it's too much? And they said, yes, I withdraw. and it leads to quality of life issues, and it leads to the fatal issues that we have with veterans with suicide, right? So I have, I guess it's my way of serving, but I think it's my way of serving the community, because I think the greatest untapped resource is military veterans. And I don't think employers know that, right? Because yeah, I remember when I was in HR, I got a resume and it was a bunch of military speak. I'd say no, I put them in my no pile, right? Yeah. So I spent time understanding all those terms. And really what I do is I go into companies and I help map what they need from a job and skills perspective. And I map that to the military, to where there's that easy, seamless transition. But I also go in and build a culture of inclusivity. Because really veterans fall into a diversity and inclusion perspective, right?
Yeah. So,
you know, and I give them an example of, let's say you had a business and you only had men that worked there and you were going to hire women. You wouldn't just hire the women. You would go in and you look at the company. Do they feel welcome? Do we have it set up to where they can be successful? Do they have people they can go to, mentors, resources? Same for military. You got to have a strategy or it just won't stick, right? So that's really what I do. And I go into companies and I don't know if I'm stubborn or if I just want to prove my point.
Yeah.
My last employer, when I was an HR executive, I hired a couple of veterans. And I will tell you, it is the best decision I ever made. I like to pretend that all the things they did are things I told them to do. Not necessarily. they come in and the first thing the person asked me was, what's my mission? What's my purpose? What do you want me to get? What's the goal? And I thought, well, this is the first time I've ever had this. So I'm just going to tell them.
Yeah. It's funny because that's actually what you do with most staff. You give them a mission, a purpose, a value to come to work. Or you try and ingrain that into people to fit into your business. But vets already want that. You don't have to mold them to want it. They come in and go, what's my purpose here? What am I aiming to do? Why am I here for you today? And my HR teams and businesses spend countless hours and hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars trying to embed that into their culture. You bring in vets, they already have that mindset. They're already here. They've already been trained and taught to think with that mindset. And like you've said, maybe we overlook, because the way they've been trained to speak, the way that they explain certain skills are very different to the way that civilians do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know, the thing that we're in a pandemic right now, we're in crisis, right? Who better than to lead you through crisis and veterans, right? And we have crisis in companies all the time and you deal with them, but they already come ready to go. They're already ready to hit the goal. I guess failure is not an option for them. So I go and I kind of help employers and executives see that. And once I tell them, and I'm like, whatever goals you have for your company, double that. Because veterans aren't just going to come in and do status quo. They're going to come in and uncover the stuff you're not thinking about. So I would say it's a win-win for any employer. Plus in the US, there's tax benefits for hiring vets, right? So you go and you target this particular population and bring them into your organization. It's a benefit to you too. So I just go in and explain that really well and explain how amazing it'll be with veterans.
And I think it's amazing. And that going back to your light bulb moment, that moment you realize this is something that really suits you. You might not be a vet yourself, but it's something you're so passionate about. I can feel it through Zoom. We're not in person right now, but I can feel your passion. That moment, what did it feel like? What happened for you in that moment as you realized, right, let's start volunteering. Let's get this process off the ground. You didn't jump in with Civilian Connections. You learned the field first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I took the time to really understand the person, understand their stories. So when you start to kind of, you have that, there's all kinds of words for it, defining moment, you really get down into your why, right? Most small business owners have a why, right? So my why was I wanted to serve, but when I dug a little bit deeper, when I was young and in high school, I was a terrible test taker, right? Like forget all those standardized tests, it's terrible.
Me too.
Yeah, I just like, what are these questions you're asking? What's the point? I took the military tests and I did really well. It was easy to me. All those cogs and wheels and visualization. So I placed really well. So they called me and said, hey, why don't you come to military? And I'm thinking, I don't have any other plans. Okay. So I went to my doctor and I had these plans for going into the military. And he said, no, you can't do that. You've got some health issues where you won't, he's honest, you won't make it through boot camp. You can't serve in that way, Erica. And I remember being really mad about it. remember being angry about it. Not that I, you know, that going to the military or war, because at the time we were at war, sexy thing to do. It was, I wanted to serve. So I kind of had that deep with inside me all along, and I didn't realize it. I even took Russian. And once I got out of high school, I went and took Russian in college because I'm going to be a linguist in the military. I did not want to let it go. So I had these things over time where I said, you know what, you know, maybe there's something else for me. And so once it kind of reignited it in me when I started volunteering and serving around the military population.
Wow. You really were set on some way you were always going to be there to be part of the military. You just spent your time finding the way that it connected with you. I'm sorry that you couldn't follow through at the beginning with the original dream, but I'm so glad you found a way to connect the two dots. I really, really am. So how do you think, how are you hoping to make a difference for vets over in the future? Obviously, you're doing so much work now, but when not everybody is open or understands the benefit of hiring vets yet, all right? How do we get people to that point? How do we help people understand these benefits?
You know, I think the biggest thing with that, with anything, is going to be education, right? And you know, the one thing I've noticed that I haven't seen, because you have this division still, and not that it's a bad thing, but you have lots going on in the military population. You have webcasts and podcasts and, you know, all these different things. And then you have the civilian side. So we're still very separate, right? I spend a lot of my time going to HR conferences, learning about HR. It's something that's not talked about in the civilian side. So I think for me, I think the more we normalize that this is a part of the talent acquisition process, and this is just a pipeline of talent, I think the better. So I think I'm going to start, because I spend a lot of my time in the military space, right? And then I discovered, I'm like, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. Of course they want to do all this. They already agree. I'm talking to military spouses and they're like, yeah, this is a problem, the transition. And I'm thinking, So I think for me, I'm going to jump over to the HR, the talent acquisition side, the recruiting side, and really penetrate that from an education perspective. So people understand, and it's just a part of who we hire, right? Versus, I don't want it to be an initiative. I want it to be something that all companies do. So the other thing I want to do is I want it to get to the point where, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that every company is going to want to hire veterans. Some aren't going to want to do that, right? So I would want to get to the place where the work I do with employers almost becomes a visual representation of excellence and a visual representation of a commitment to veterans. And they don't just want to bring me into the company. They want me to have a career here. They want me to grow. They want me to evolve. So when veterans are looking to companies that they want to come out of to go work for, they see that and they go, oh, that's the company I want to work for. That's the company I want to work for, because they do it the right ways.
Yeah, you said there are a lot of companies that don't want vets, or there are a lot of vets that don't want certain companies. And it works both ways, right? The vets should have their choice too. And they should be able to turn around and say, I know that that company is either going to work for me because they suit my personality, or they suit the way that I work, or they're not. And it's almost like a badge of honor for companies to say, we hire these kinds of people, and these kinds of vets would be great in our culture for our company. We'd be great for you for these reasons. It's not just about the companies, is it? It's actually about why the company is great for that person.
Yeah, you know, I get some people ask me, Erica, what's your big, hairy, audacious goal? Like, what is your huge
goal? Your North Star?
My goal is that every industry sees how amazing veterans are. And of course, we talk about the tactical skills like leadership and commitment to excellence, but they are some of the most dynamic people I've ever been around. I think of like Adam Driver, who's in the Marine Corps, Star Wars. Is he Darth Vader? I think he's Darth Vader, which is amazing. I'm like, of course a military person can be Darth Vader. But veterans are funny, dynamic, sexy, gifted. I was surprised that the veteran I hired was a highly functioning person. So as an HR person that I thought I knew everything, I had to take a step back and learn how to manage a high functioning person. That's in the military. They're actors, they're singers, they're dancers, they're all these things. So I want to see it to where they're everywhere and involved in us as a people and as a community, because they're all of these things, but I think that they're pigeonholed into certain things, which I want to see them doing everything.
I love that. You know, in comparison in the UK, I think we We do give back to our ex-forces. You know, we have initiatives like Help the Heroes and things like that. But I have to say, we don't do, in general day-to-day society, I don't think we do enough, even as we spoke about earlier, and just the basic point of standing up and recognizing our vets at events. It's a very normal thing for me to see when I'm in the US, recognizing vets, giving them a little bit extra when they're out with their families or just doing normal day-to-day things. We don't do that here. And I'm really, really humbled to see you doing it. For the wider industries, companies that maybe haven't looked at it before, I remember a few years ago, LinkedIn had a vet specific platform in the US. Is that still a thing? Is that still running for you? Do you know much about that?
You know, I'm not familiar with the platform on LinkedIn. I do know that a lot of the nonprofits, we have quite a few in the US, they use LinkedIn as a resource and to help them get those transferable skills defined, to help them get training, to help really build their network. So that's the thing for veterans, that's the big part, is they have this huge network in the military. They got to start to know people on the civilian side. So there's a lot of big time companies who are investing in some of those databases and trainings that'll help transfer those skills, like Cisco is one, Chase, Microsoft. They have their own veteran hiring programs to where they can just grab them out of the military and they know exactly where to place them. So I think that there's a lot of that. I think that sometimes when I talk to veterans and I'm thinking, you have all these resources, and sometimes some get to me and they haven't used any of them. And I'm thinking, but they're free and your military spouse can use them. There's an overwhelming part of that too. So when they come out of the military, sometimes they have a week to transition. Sometimes it's a couple days, which is like a transition assistance program. So they get everything thrown at them, their health insurance, their livelihood, their education. And from a professional part, here's LinkedIn, here's all these things, and they end up doing nothing with it.
Yeah,
so I think an opportunity for in the US is to consolidate that or to have a resource where it's one person, one step, because a lot of them just get overwhelmed. And then with that is because they're military. They're supposed to know what to do, right? They shouldn't be confused. And then some of them don't do anything because they're ashamed that they don't know. So there's a lot of layers that we got to work through. That's really why I want to make sure we're looking at the employer side, because the employer, I think, is our biggest opportunity, right? Where you can see that military member and you have the steps and process to really guide them through that transitions instead of it being so difficult for them.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I do the same when I have, if I have a long to-do list, regardless of what it is, I get overwhelmed. Can you imagine coming out of the military, having been part of it for 5, 10, 20, 30 years? You have a week to do all of those things that the rest of us have probably set up over the course of the last 10 years. Like you said, insurances and all sorts of stuff like that. The last thing you're worried about is setting up a LinkedIn profile. That really is the bottom of the list when you're transitioning the way you live and the way you operate. And I can't imagine what that feeling's like. How do you think HR teams can better understand vets? You've said it yourself. Vets have a certain language they use. So they're taught to communicate with each other in a certain way. We don't understand that very well. That's not our fault. That's not their fault. We've just all operated in different universes. How can HR teams be better at understanding military language?
You know, that's a great question. And one of the things that I talked to a veteran recently, and I said, what can we do on the employer side as HR teams to help you? And he said, I just want an opportunity. I just want a chance. And I'm thinking, we can do that, right? So I think the number one thing, dependent on your resources, some HR teams have bandwidth to do that. I do believe you need to have someone dedicated from a recruiting, a hiring, resume, bringing those people into an organization from a culture perspective that's dedicated to doing that. Because it's going to be an ongoing process, right? Yeah. Just like you hire somebody, people go out of the organization. So it's constantly going to be a revolving door of more education, more awareness, more engagement. So I think you need to have somebody dedicated to that. If you can't do that, I would bring somebody in like myself to sit your HR team down for a brown bag. We call them brown bags in the US. It's just an hour over lunch. We feed them to incentivize them to stay there. Bring food, a flavored water, whatever it is. And you educate them. Let's walk you through the culture of the military. Let's walk you what it looks like. I'm a member of an organization called the Society for Human Resources Management Professionals. they are so committed to veterans. They have a free training that you can take that where you get certified to hire veterans in the workplace. So I would say if you can't bring somebody in that's dedicated to that, I would get some education and start to build some structure so your team can learn that language, can learn when they interview, they might be a certain kind of way to help get them into the organization.
Because I don't know anything about this, so I've got to ask you all the questions. You really are the expert here. I mean, what kind of things do you see transferable skills that maybe vets use a lot that are very easily translated into what the phraseology civilians use would be really obvious to us? You know what I mean? What do you think you see quite often that could be easily translated?
Yeah, that's a good question. So when I used to do resume translation, I would have their resume side by side, and then I would have like HR terms, like civilian terms. So I would have to map those. So the biggest ones I would see is anytime they worked overseas, anytime they spoke a different language, I would say in the US, in the HR world, that's called cultural competence, cultural sensitivity, diversity. They had to work in different areas, in different countries, with different people, and learn about that. So on the gate, I would say they're culturally aware. Anytime they were in a leadership position, and most of them are at some point, where they had to oversee people, oversee budgets, things like that, I would say that that's leadership and project management. In the U.S., we have, you know, $200,000 for a budget. Well, there are millions and millions and millions of dollars in the military from an equipment perspective, things like that. So leadership out the gate, they're going to have leadership skills. I would say anytime they were in, let's say, combat, they were in high risk situations, I would say they're really good at risk mitigation. They're really good at critical thinking, because when they go into this, they're not asking questions of, hey, let's just do this mission. They're thinking, who's our enemy? What does this look like if it goes well? What does it look like if it doesn't go well? What problem are we trying to solve? What's the end goal? They're doing all of that before they get there. So when you think about, you know, businesses, that's really good because they're mitigating your risk and mapping everything out. And then the other thing I would say, as we talked about that earlier, they're committed to a mission. They are there to get the job done. They're there to push through it. And they're there to bring the team together. You know, in companies, you have people who fight and bicker and don't get along with somebody. They're going to figure out a way to bring the people together so we can achieve the mission. So you're going to see that as well. As anytime they served in a unit, they served like that, they serve in that capacity of bringing people together. And then also, I would say a lot of times when they're deployed, they are engaged. A lot of people don't think about the military. They do a lot of humanitarian aid as well. So their civic involvement and their ability to give back and serve is really, really high. So those are some of the things I look at. And those are the words I would replace with those to say, oh, you know, you're in combat. You can handle crisis. I would just say that. Things like that.
Amazing. I think those are some really key sound bites. Of how it's so clear how simple to us it is to understand that. But for them, they've been in, like you said, leadership positions, humanitarian aid, their ability to assess risk in seconds, not minutes or hours or days. They assess risk in seconds or from good and bad outcomes, which is far greater for them. That risk is far greater than it is for us at work. We may think it's the be-all and end-all, but it's very, very different for them being in combat and how simple it is to translate that into what they can do in a working environment. I think it's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know any, and this is just probably because I don't spend enough time in the right kind of ecosystem, but I don't know any initiatives in the UK that are for veterans. And there's anyone who's listening who does know those, I'd love to for you to send me some of them, let me know who they are. And the same in the US as well, Erica, if there's any more we should be aware of, I'd really love to kind of collate that list and find out who's out there doing this for vets on both sides of the ocean, because we really should be giving these guys all of the airtime that they deserve. Erica, I really appreciate you joining me today. How can people get hold of you if they want to have a conversation, if they want to understand more about vets and the workplace?
Thank you so much. As you can see, I'm totally passionate about vets and I could talk your ear off for hours, but I won't do that. So if you want to learn more or get a hold of me, my website is civilianconnections.com. I'm pretty active on Instagram. So my Insta handle is civilianconnections as well. And I'm also on LinkedIn. I have a Civilian Connections business page, but feel free to come find me. As we say, stalk me. I'm a nonviolent stalker. Come find me on LinkedIn. My name is Erica Scott. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. And like I said, I have a background in HR, but really want to get these veterans engaged into all levels of companies because I really think that our cure for cancer, our vaccine for AIDS, whatever it is in the military. And I think we're just missing that. So let's talk.
Erica, I love your passion and enthusiasm. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much.